outside of my palace. 5 o'clock hour is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Solano was telling us earlier during one of the commercial breaks, you had a Funky Buddha experience. You went there, or you...
Well, I've been there before. It was amazing. But like about right before Crowder went on vacation, we spoke about it where I tried Funky Buddha for the first time. I believe it was the Hop Gun. Yep. And he was telling me how great it is. So the very next day, I had a tailgate with my brother for a Uruguayan soccer game up in Boca.
You know, I saw that on your social media. Yeah. I had no idea. And it looked like it was pretty crowded.
It was actually a lot of fun. And my brother, like, he's so desperate to, like, become friends with the two of you. he was like, oh, I got the beer. Don't worry. When I showed up to the tailgate, he had two coolers. I sent you guys the picture filled with different Funky Buddha beers that he bought at the Publix in Boca. And... like, this dude was like, oh, send Crowder the picture. Crowder has to see this. Send Crowder the picture. This dude spent, like, crazy amount of money on Funky Buddha, and it was just me and him drinking the beer. Half of them are still in his fridge. His fridge is stocked with Funky Buddha.
It's amazing how many people will contact us on social media, yep. You know, oh, I found Funky Buddha at this store. My kid points it out.
He does.
He's like, hey, Funky Buddha's over there.
As we traveled, you got to stop for gas and different, gas stations and things. I would go and walk to the beer section and see if they had Funky Buddha. It's crazy. It's like a trend. I don't know. It's like a cult almost. You're a Funky Buddha cult.
Crowder was just telling me off the air here. I kept asking about Mall of America when you went on your road trip. So you went to see Paisley Park, Prince's compound in Minnesota.
And that was awesome to know he lived there and see how it was set up. Because it was like everybody sees Michael Jackson's Never Never Land. He was a child at heart.
Right.
Prince was a grown man.
Right.
Like, to see a grown man's, like, luxury thought house, you know, like, he designed it himself, it was cool as hell.
I've read stories, though, that it's like a corporate park, that it doesn't, like, because if you think of Elvis's home as Graceland or, like, Michael Jackson Neverland or whatever, it's these mansions. They look like palatial mansions. Not that I've been to either, so I can't really speak on them, but this, I was told, is more like a corporate park.
No windows on the outside. They have the 18-wheeler. The elevated 18-wheeler where the 18-wheelers can back up to deliver stuff. He would start all his tours. He would try out his tour, I guess, lineup in his house, and he'd invite people.
Because they had a performing space in there. I've read that.
Gigantic, like 1,500 people or something could get in this performing space. But he would go to Minnesota clubs, and after the club, and this is a story everybody told the whole time you're there, he would go into Minnesota, because this is, I'd say, 40 minutes outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota clubs. He'd go into Minneapolis clubs and just hang out, drink, party, be with his girls, you know, with his homeboys. Then after the club, he would say, the first 1,000 people that get to Paisley Park, you get in, free concert, free food. He wasn't a drinker. So, like, that's when they were telling me, they were like, yeah, there was no alcohol. He never had alcohol at his house. But it was funny. From the little performing area in the club, there were stairs going up to these rooms. They were like, those are changing rooms. I was like, if you're coming to a party, why do you need a changing room? That's a sex room up there.
Right.
You're not tricking me. But the setup of everything and how they had all this stuff up and how he had like these gigantic 30-foot murals of everybody. And then there's a wall, everybody he worked with, he would get a picture painted on them. So like, it was a big picture of him with no shirt on in the middle, like standing with his arms out. And on one side were people that kind of made his career. And on the other side were people that he made their career. It was a pretty cool. I wasn't excited.
They charge you to get in?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, I think we did the VIP tour. It was like $80 a person.
Really?
Yeah. But there were groups of like 40. We were in a group of 5. So like we got to do more stuff. We got to sit down in his office.
You have to make reservations for that, or you just show up?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's a business now. Dude follows you around. And this other thing, in his wishes or whatever, because he wanted his house, Paisley Park, to be a museum. He wanted people to see his vision. You saw like Steph asked me about the vault where, you know, he owns all his own masters. You see that. You see his Studio B, what he talks about so much. You see like he was an insomniac. Everywhere has like this crazy, that glow-in-the-dark paint. So you turn the lights off and they turn on those black lights and like there's little stars and his little symbol. The artist formerly known as that symbol, the little symbol, random places around the house. He loved purple. Purple's every damn where. But he wanted it to be a museum. But in his wishes, he didn't want phones or pictures or any like publicity about what it was. So you have to check your phone in. And they have a big-ass sign up because, you know, there's those butt wipes. I'm going to take my phone, take a picture if I want to.
Right.
If we catch you taking pictures, you will be asked to leave. and you're kicked out forever, and we are eligible to put legal charges against you.
Huh.
Because we told you from the beginning, do not have your phone in here. So if you take a picture of Prince's office, they can press charges on you.
Sounds fascinating, man. Minnesota sounds like a fun place all of a sudden, between Mall of America and Prince's house.
The restaurants everywhere. Did you hear Juicy Lucy's?
Uh-uh.
They're burgers with cheese inside.
Oh, I like
that. They're huge in the Midwest. But Juicy Lucy's, place called Matt's, was like 2 blocks away from our family's house. So we were going to eat and all that. Like, it's a cool place, and we were in love with it. We're talking to everybody. Minnesota's great. We went out to, like, there's lakes everywhere, you know, 10,000 lakes, whatever they call it. Fishing was great. Me and my son caught a bunch of fish. And everybody kept telling us, just come in the summer. They said, if you want to go to Minnesota, do not come
up here in
February.
There's like a 2-month window, yeah.
They said there's a window that you will be miserable. But there's an 8-9 month window where Minnesota is the best place in the world. But if you come in that little 2-3 month window, you're going to be miserable because it's going to be snow to your chin. And I said, well, I'm never coming in January or February.
Yeah, Minnesota in the winter is not anywhere that you would want to be.
But we had a good time in Minnesota.
So a ton of stuff happened. If you're just tuning in, we're back on the air. Got on at 2:00. We had been off for a couple of weeks. A ton of stuff happened while we were gone. One of them is not us in a new studio. We are still in the old studio, or we're hopefully by the end of this week we'll be in the new studio. But the Heat, they got Jimmy Butler. They got rid of Hassan Whiteside. Tyler Hero looked great in summer league. The NBA is totally different than when we left a couple weeks ago. The Dolphins start training camp next week, which is unbelievable.
Love it.
I'm like, when I read that this morning, I was grinning from ear to ear. The Heat fans, I'm guessing, were ecstatic when Jimmy Butler was announced.
Very ecstatic.
Yeah. He's going to be a big improvement. Although I will tell you, I told you this at the beginning of the show, betonline.ag came out with, you know, their season win totals very early. But the Heat season win total is set from Vegas at 42.5. So there's how many wins did they end up with last season? It's right around there. So Vegas doesn't think Jimmy Butler's going to make that much of a difference.
Well, after losing Jay Rich and Dwayne, and adding Jimmy.
Right. I didn't even think about Dwayne Wade being gone.
Kind of
evens 39.
Out. 39. Yeah. So two and a half, three wins.
Yeah. Jimmy's the building block of what's hopefully going to happen down the line.
Jimmy is obviously the best basketball player on the roster now, and it gives you some star power. It gives you an all-star. It gives you a little bit of something, a little bit of juice.
And just like where Russell Westbrook, the rumors, he ended up going to Houston, and now CP3 rumors where Jimmy can get those guys to look over here.
Right. Now, at least, yeah, you've got a destination where, you know, Chris Paul doesn't want to be in Oklahoma City because there's no one there. Well, Miami, he would want to be there because Jimmy Butler is there.
And that's what Jimmy's doing. He's still a great basketball player, but that's our new, I want to say the new wave, but there's our new name.
I think the biggest thing to feed off of is not just that they got Jimmy Butler via trade. It's that he wanted to be in Miami.
Yes.
Like, he turned down more money, yes, longer contract in Philadelphia, a team that can contend this year with him.
But remember, he wanted to be here for a couple of years. Like, right. Jimmy Butler wanted to be here. He wanted to be part of the Heat.
When you were gone, Dono and Frito had on some commissioner of Hialeah or somebody up there. And Jimmy Butler visited down here, and he couldn't tell the story until Jimmy Butler committed, but came down here and was like, hey, I don't want to go to South Beach. I don't want to go to Brickell. I want to go to Miami. So he went to
a picture of him playing dominoes
Domino Park. Yeah. Yes, he was like going to, and this was before.
I mean, that's cool.
To the point that he wants to be here. He enjoys this lifestyle in South Florida.
I made that point all the time about Ndamukong Suh. Like, certain times you get high-profile players that have come down here that I don't think really were interested in becoming part of the fabric of South Florida. Like, Ndamukong Suh, I would be hard-pressed to know of the charitable endeavors or the, you know, like,
he'll give you a check.
No.
But he's not going to come hang out
right,
with the people.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Even when Mike Wallace came down here, I didn't think Mike Wallace, and he was getting paid a lot of money. I'm not putting him on the level of an Ndamukong Suh, but, like, came down here and, you know, did he really want to be part of what was going on and ingratiate himself in the community? But Jimmy Butler obviously wants to do that.
Is it different for a Dolphins player because you're in Davie? And I know we're the Miami Dolphins, and they embrace this city. I'm not saying they don't, but I'm interested to know because it's different playing on Biscayne Boulevard, and most of the guys for the Dolphins live north of Miami. Just you're closer.
Davie, Weston, why would you live in Miami to drive to Davie every
right.
day?
You're right? asking for trouble, and it's a hassle.
Even Miami Gardens, people would ask me about that too, like, oh, you live around the stadium? Why would you live in Miami Gardens to drive to Davie? You literally go to the stadium 20 times a year. You go to the facility every single day of your life, you know what I'm saying? So most guys live up there. But to this conversation we're saying, the guys that want to be a part of it, like I would say me and Ronnie, really, we went down the South. We went to Brickell. We'd go to Homestead. Like, we'd see all the stuff. We wanted to – and we are enjoying ourselves, too. We're not just trying to embrace the young kids. We are partying up. We're having a good time. But we really wanted to know and be a part of Miami. Some guys, they're just not built like that.
Right.
I'm here to play football. I know guys that go home every second they can from Miami.
Right.
They'll live in Wichita, North Carolina, and fly home every single – I'm like, bro. Why don't you stay in Miami? You're in Miami. Why the hell are you going to North Carolina? Hey, I had to go home and see my people. So I just think it's different type people. But Jimmy's one of those guys that really wanted to be down here, really wants to be a part, really wants to be a part of the culture, just like a bunch of teammates I play with and other guys that didn't.
I think he is going to be a perfect fit for what the Miami Heat is, or at least this vision that we have of what the Miami Heat is. He obviously respects Dwayne Wade. He obviously respects Pat Riley. And you know, Jimmy Butler, he's a killer. He wants to win. He expects the best out of those that he's playing with. Like, I think he's going to be a perfect fit down here.
And he's arrogant. And Miami's arrogant.
He's got that swag.
That's where the fans are going to jump on, because Jimmy got some edge to him. And it's that down here, it's seeing those, I don't want to say soft, but the pleasant guys. They're good players, but they're just nice. They just float around. They're just pleasant people.
He'll let you know.
That's the thing. You know what? I call somebody on the roster right now, Dragic. Dragic will never be a Miami guy. He's just not, his personality's not built for be a Miami guy. Great point guard, but not a Miami guy. He's just not built like that.
Tyler Hero has a chance.
Exactly.
To become a Miami guy.
With the drip and all, what he's like, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm saying. That's what Miami wants.
There's a ton of NBA news, obviously, since we've been gone. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. This list that Jalen Rose put together, I don't know if you saw it on Get Up this morning, but he listed the top NBA duos right now. And I think you might be shocked by who he has as the top NBA duos. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. Radio.com. Radio.com. And it's pretty split, by the way, on Chris Paul. Actually, I think it's more in favor of people not wanting Chris Paul here.
I was going to say.
Although,
there's some people that want him.
If he comes here, yeah, you're going to be thrilled if he comes here. Like, everybody wants to play GM, and everyone wants to worry about, you know, $124 million over three seasons, and is he declining, and, you know, Chris Paul's in that Miami Heat Vice jersey, and he's out there with Jimmy Butler, and now, again, if he's trash, then no, but I don't think he's trash. He's 34 years old. Like, he's fine.
He's decent. He's not at his prime, nowhere close.
He's not at his prime.
And he's not going to embrace any kind of culture or anything like that, because he doesn't do it. That's not Chris Paul.
Not what he's been in the past. You're correct.
Like, he's not going to, like, he's going to be here to get his money.
Well, he's going to get his money somewhere.
And that's wherever he goes, he's getting his money. It's not like, hey, let me come down here and get the Heat back to a championship. Oh, the Rockets, they traded me? Okay, well, let me go get the rest of my money somewhere. I don't want Chris Paul. I am adamant. I do not want Chris Paul.
You'll love him when he's here,
though. I've watched him play, and he cusses out his teammates. He talks to the ref like children. Chris Paul's in that LeBron category for me. Personality-wise, I just can't. I don't like who they are.
5 o'clock hour, by the way, is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Enjoy yourself a Funky Buddha brew.
That's what they need this time. Chris Paul needs to drink some Funky Buddha.
So here's Jalen Rose. He did his top NBA duos, right? He did it on Get Up this morning. So his number one NBA duo right now. You want to guess what it is? Did you watch it? You want to guess what it is, Solana?
I didn't watch it. I'm going to go Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson.
I would expect no less from you.
Easy. LeBron AD.
LeBron AD is his number two NBA duo.
It's Kawhi and PG.
Kawhi and Paul George his number one duo.
Hmm.
LeBron and Anthony Davis.
That one now.
Mike Greenberg took him to task. He's like, you're crazy. Like, like no chance. But you know, his point was essentially Kawhi and Paul George, you don't know what you're getting with LeBron anymore because he's getting up there in age.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis, you know, his point was, I mean, you didn't see him much last season. Mike Greenberg said, well, that was New Orleans' choice. Like, they, you know, they didn't want to risk him getting injured, but.
But dude, the big man. So you got AD can play the 4, 5, and the 3. LeBron can play 1 through 4.
I almost think I would take LeBron and Anthony Davis. If I had to pick a duo for next season, I think I would pick LeBron and Anthony Davis. He's got Kevin Durant and Kyrie as his third best NBA duo. Now, obviously, you're not going to see it next season. And then his fourth, he's got Klay and Steph, which is easy to forget.
Yes.
I think he said y'all must have forgot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then, man, I can't remember who his number five was. But Kawhi and Paul George, like, these are some of the changes that, you know, we were gone for 2 weeks. These are some of the changes. The NBA is a completely different place. Do you like this, Solana? You're a young guy, so you don't really know much of, like, you know, when I grew up, obviously, it was, you know, you stayed with a team. Yes. Big name talent changing teams was rare. But now it seems to be every season this is going to happen.
Back in our day, but really talking about Solana, me and you, you know, being far, you know, whatever, 15 years apart.
Yeah.
It was different. The guys left when they were old.
When they were
you
old,
never
they
left
were
at
ring
your prime.
Chasing.
Yes.
Like, yeah, superstars in their prime. They didn't get traded. They didn't leave.
No.
But now it's seemingly every season, every other season that they're changing teams. Do you like that?
I like that now there's duos everywhere. I mean, I wasn't
the
guy.
The duo is replacing the trio.
Right. I just think it's cool, though, because now you have multiple superstars, these multiple super teams, but it's not the Warriors with Kevin Durant, and you know they're going to come out of the West. Like, it's not that anymore, because even in the East now, you have teams that can compete with the Bucks that are going to be able to compete with KD and Kyrie. Like, KD might realize what just happened in the NBA and go, maybe teaming up with one other superstar is not going to be enough. Maybe I should have stayed with Steph and Klay, because it's not going to be easy to beat LeBron and AD, PG and Kawhi. Like, it's going to just get harder.
I like what the Bucks did when they find a star and build around him with Giannis, and then they go get Chris Middleton, and like even Denver with the two young guys, they have like my old school thought likes that. But it seems like nowadays it's going to be big stars talking, tweeting each other and figuring out where are we going together.
It's not enough, man. Like, if I had to tell you right now, Giannis and that team they built around them, great team, is going to face one of the LA teams. You're going with one of those LA teams. Yep. Just because it's LeBron, AD,
well,
PG,
that's the thing. That's the thing about Giannis to me, too, is I like that where, and he says, you know, maybe I'll be like a Dirk who stays with his team the entirety of his career. But yeah, you get to a point because, like, even Houston, like, it wasn't working. Was it as good as that team was? Oklahoma City with the talent, like, you know, all these teams, like, as good as they are, it's not working, and so you got to try something different. And so what happens with a team like Milwaukee where you've got Giannis, who's maybe the best player in the league? What if you're, you know, 4, 5, 6 seasons, he wants to be there, but you can't get another star maybe to come to Milwaukee or whatever it is, and like, and what's going to happen? Like, you can't get past that hump.
The organization used to fail players their entire careers.
Right.
Where they just couldn't figure out a way to add. Now the players can take control and say, you're not doing enough. I'm going to let another organization build around me. I'm old school in every way, so I'm pushing back against this whole,
you know what, though? I
team
like
building.
It. I like it, though, because if you like the sport, it's fun for the sport. So it may be different, you know, when I was a kid and you had your team allegiance and that was it. Like, I notice it with my son and his friends. Their team allegiance isn't necessarily the local team. They like the local team, but their team allegiance is more player allegiance. It's more, I like this guy and I'm watching him wherever he goes, or this team. And I find this myself too. This team is going to be fun to watch. Like this, you know, the Clippers are going to be fun to watch.
And that is great for the NBA.
I think so.
Because everybody in Miami is not just watching the Heat.
Right.
They're watching the entire NBA, and everybody in New York, the entire NBA. So it's great. And that's why these damn salaries are getting crazy, because the salary cap is rising. Yeah, the NBA figured it out now.
NBA, they and the NFL, by the way, speaking of salary cap and collective bargaining agreements, because that's all, they start negotiating the CBA this week. There is talk about an 18-game season. You'd remove two preseason games, so you'd have 18 regular season games. One of the things that they're floating, I guess, is players could only play in 16 games, though. So anybody on the roster could only play in 16 games. I saw it was Lewis Riddick this morning on ESPN. He's like, well, essentially, then you're making the two preseason games count now. Yeah. If you can't play all 16 guys, and so you're going to get to one game in the season where your quarterback can't play, well, now you're making a preseason game that doesn't count. So that doesn't seem like a logical track to take. They were kind of saying this morning that 17 games might be the...
But then if you have two games where your stars... Because you have to pick stars that can't play in two games.
Right, but you would like you would say, you know, if you're the Bears, right, you'd have, you wouldn't have Khalil Mack and Mitchell Trubisky out in the same game, I would think. Or maybe you do throw away a game.
That's what I would say. You just throw away a game. Or you pick an easy game. You pick a cupcake team.
Try to get past.
And just say, we can beat them without our stars. So then that diminishes the style of play and the competitiveness as well. I hate it. 16's good. And then you're going to add the non-conference games. Because you already play your division, right, and you already play two of the conferences.
Right, you're not going to play your division three times.
So you're going to add two more random games that aren't going to count towards the playoffs? Or how are you going to put that in? Where it's the record, and then it goes division, and then non-play? It's just, they're trying so hard to make money, more money than they already make.
And they're already a multi-billion dollar operation.
This year, after all expenses, each team got $274 million.
That's the icing on the cake.
Yes, because they made over $9 billion, well over $9 billion. So each team got $270-something. Like, they're not struggling for money. I don't know why they're trying to put these players at risk and mess up what's already a system that works just to add two more games.
I would say this, though. Mike Greenberg said this morning on ESPN, I kind of agree with it. One of the things that makes the NFL so great is the scarcity of games. There are 16 games. That is it. Every game is so meaningful. I told you, I woke up this morning and I read that, you know, Dolphins camp opens next week. And I start going through it in my head and I'm like, oh, it's going to be September before you know it, because my kid starts back up in school in the middle of August. It'll be September. Football's going to be on. But then I'm already at the end. I'm like, oh, then it's going to be December before you know it, and we're going to be done. But there's something about the scarcity of games where it really does, like, the NBA season, a lot of us don't pay attention to it until after Christmas.
Yep.
Now, it'll be interesting this year because you have all these new teams and all these players that have switched teams and whatnot. But football, there is, what, 3 months? September, October, November, December. So 4 months,
Well, yeah, it was 16 games, 4 weekends, yeah. 4 months.
I mean, it is scarcity of games.
And why would you don't mess that part up?
Right. That's what you really start to risk is, do you dilute what's so great by adding another game or two more games?
And if you want your sport played at a high level, if you add two games and now the rules where now all your players can't play in the extra two games, you are watering down the level of play, the what you watch, what everybody watches for on Sunday, why some people like NFL and won't even watch college because of what you see. Why would you make an effort to mess that up to make some more money?
Isn't that our biggest complaint with Thursday night football? The NFL wanted more football. They wanted football on Thursday, and the quality of Thursday night games historically
Although last season Thursday night football was pretty good.
Yeah, you can get a good matchup every now and again. I just don't know why it can't be Sunday. Sunday and Monday. I'll go to Monday night. You get you one Monday night, that primetime game, but it works. It works. Why is an NBA ad going to 100 games?
Well, they're talking about getting rid of games. Like, 82 games is too much, but the NFL is only at 16 games. You know, a lot of these owners, like, think about Jerry Jones. He's got a multi-billion-dollar stadium. That dude wants to put it into action more than just 8 times or 10 times if you include, you know, preseason, throwing a couple fights or whatever. But yeah, they want more revenue. But it would trickle down to the players. I mean, if you were playing and you got an extra, I don't know, $300,000 a game, they told you that.
That's the difference, too, that they had to work on CBA, because how salaries are put, if you make $1 million, you take that million, you divide it by 17, because you get paid on your bye week. So $1 million divided by 17, you get paid every Tuesday. after a Sunday game. You get paid on that Tuesday. Do you divide my money by 19 now, or do you add two more checks?
Right. It's got to be an addition of checks.
Because I'm not working. You'll be working harder for the same amount of money.
No, I got you.
Now, you add, like, I know my rookie year I made after taxes $17,000 a game. Do I get an extra $17,000 these next 2 weeks?
Right.
We can talk.
Theoretically, that would be it, that everyone's going to share in the profits.
They would want to knock off, so give you $15,000 per game and add that last little money to the end game. No. I hope and I do believe they're going to there will be a lockout coming up here in the next couple years, because how the CBA's structured now, and now they're trying to add more games with what's going on with the concussions and just – I think the NFL is coming to a head right now between the CBA and the league.
It's going to be interesting because, again, they start negotiating that this week.
There was a report that DeMaurice Smith, that's how you say his name, right? He is telling the NFL reps to prepare your team for a lockout. Do whatever you have to do financially. Prepare your players, prepare your team for a lockout, because they're not going to give us what we want.
It is it's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. It's our first show back in a couple of weeks. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our final segment of our return show in a studio that we never thought we'd see again, because we thought we'd be in the new studios. One more segment today when we come back. Radio.com. Radio.com. 5 o'clock hour on Hochman and Crowder, presented by our friends at the Funky Buddha
Brewery.
We have
legal fire and Dade blocking.
What you got there?
What is what's happening there, Solana?
My bad.
What'd you say, Gia? Gia's over there?
She wanted to get in on the Funky Buddha happy hour.
All right. Well, there you go. Oh, man.
Been a mess up once.
Fun first show back. We were gone for a while. I said at the beginning of the show... And I know Crowder affirms it.
Yes.
You know, you come back from vacation. A lot of people that get back on vacation, they don't want to go back to work. Like, I was chomping at the bit to come back here. And really, we didn't even talk that much about all the nonsense that we could have.
We're going to get the foolishness going.
We'll get the foolishness going. I felt like there was so much that happened while we were gone that we had to address the Panthers and the Heat and the NBA. I mean, there's just been so many changes.
That NBA broke the calendar, man.
The NBA broke the calendar. What was notoriously, like, while we were gone, did you even know this? While we were gone, the MLB All-Star Game and Home Run Derby happened?
No. Actually, Vlad Jr. hit a bunch of damn home runs. Did he? I
usually, again, I was in Japan, so it was yeah. You know, I didn't even get to watch the Women's World Cup final. Like, I didn't get to see that. And then Wimbledon, I was too tired this weekend from all the travel. I didn't even watch any of that. I was so out of everything. But like MLB, like they got, as far as I can tell from being out of the country, MLB All-Star Weekend got overshadowed by all the NBA stuff, right?
Yes.
Like, all I saw on ESPN, social media, and website and all that stuff was NBA, NBA, NBA. And then today, they started to make the segue towards NFL. You started to get a little bit of NFL stuff today. Who is it? Jadeveon Clowney, I guess, was... He would have had to have signed by 4 o'clock today. Did Jadeveon Clowney sign? Adam Schefter all day was saying that he's not going to sign.
There's nothing about Jadeveon Clowney on ESPN, so okay. I'm guessing he did not.
So he probably didn't sign. So he'll be franchise, but he hasn't signed it. So what they were saying on ESPN is that he probably won't show up until, you know, preseason game three or whatever, and take the training camp off.
These summer sports, they get mad at the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know. I would tell you this. They definitely want to replicate it.
Yeah,
like, you have got every commissioner looking at what's going on with the NBA. I wonder, I was thinking about this morning, you know how, like, NFL Network has Good Morning Football? I wonder if NBA should be doing something like that on their NBA network, where they should be doing a show. I'm talking about a morning show, because they've got decent programming during the season. But I'm talking about 52 weeks a year having some sort of, you know, Good Morning NBA or whatnot, because they could have talked. I mean, you couldn't get enough NBA talk this last month.
5-6 years ago, I would have said you're crazy.
Right.
NBA couldn't do it year-round.
Right.
Now, it's
year-round.
And it's they're doing it on purpose. It's like the NFL should move the draft back to now.
One of the reasons that the NBA, like, I'm not certain the NBA realized that players were going to start wielding this much power. So a lot of the attention that is focused on the NBA is because players are saying, yeah, I want to go here. I don't want to be. I mean, how quickly did Paul George get traded from OKC? Because he said, I don't want to be here anymore.
And nobody knew that that was like a possibility. But I don't think the NBA, starting with Adam Silver, even really likes too much of what's going on, because Silver came out and said he knows there's a problem with the collusion. Right, because they're not really supposed to even make decisions until the 6 p.m. deadline or start talking to teams.
I mean, that's
KD at 6 p.m. was a Brooklyn Net.
Right. I mean, that's
maybe
pretty
the NBA
obvious.
Doesn't even really like
it's changed. A lot of people are scared of change. Change scares a lot of people. Yep. So it's different than what it used to be, but they have to sit back afterwards of what just happened over this last month. And say, that was awesome for our league.
Oh, my God. Like, think about any business. If you own a business and it's a seasonal business, and all of a sudden your seasonal business becomes a year-round business, you're not going to try to figure out how to stop that. You're gonna have your arms in the air like Dufresne in Shawshank. What was his name?
Andy
Dufresne. When the rain is coming down and he's free. Like, I mean, honestly, if you've got, they were a seasonal business that has become a year-round monster. NBA is doing it right. NFL's a pretty close second.
Yeah, oh, it's funny for it to be second because they used to be first forever.
Yes.
The NBA, Adam Silver, is it Adam Silver or is it coincidence that he came along right when the millennial athlete was coming up and the guys grabbed the power back?
I think it's coincidence. I think it's coincidence. I think you started to see something with the big three, and now it is agents wielding power, players talking to each other during the season. Hey, wouldn't it be great if we teamed up in so-and-so? And they're exercising that power. And I think, you know, you don't want to be stuck. Like, look at what happened with New Orleans last season. I mean, you wasted a season of Anthony Davis, right?
And the team wasted a season sitting him in the fourth
quarter. And the team wasted a season because they didn't, like, so it's no good. So if a player doesn't want to be there and he's getting towards 1 or 2 years removed from the end of his contract, yeah, you've got to do something.
And to this conversation, how could they pull that power back away from the athletes? It's impossible.
It's impossible. The only way you could do it, I would think, is much longer contracts. But no one wants to sign that. But like if you're in year four of an 8-year contract and you don't have an opt out, you don't have much power because if you want to play over the next four seasons. But if you're in, you know, year three of a 5-year contract, you start to have the power in that situation.
They tried to do it with the max and the super max.
Right, where you had a financial incentive to stay with a team.
But we benefited from Jimmy Butler saying the hell with that fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll take four for whatever, 140. It would have been five for 190. He said, I'll take this 140, and I'm going to get me another sack on the end of it. I don't know. They should embrace it because they can do nothing about it.
Well, we can't give you all the answers in one show. We'll have all the answers for you by Friday, I would say.
All of them?
All the answers.
To everything.
By Friday. I could keep going, but I know K-Rodge is chomping at the bit to get on the air.
Yeah.
K-Rodge is like, hey, man, it's 5:53. I got things to say.
Look at him.
He's saying stretch. Look at
We got you, K-Rodge. Hurry up.
You didn't play Gangnam Style today, Solana.
It's over. It's not a good song, right?
On this day in 2012, Psy released Gangnam Style. I would like to hear that before we go off the air for our show.
Okay, yeah.
So on this day segment of our paper, you brought up Die Hard being released in 1988. You brought up Wedding Crash. You brought up Gangnam Style. You left out Keenan and Kel.
So, you know, for me, the only way that I know Keenan is from Saturday Night Live. In 1996, I was engaged to be married. I wasn't watching no Keenan and Kel, so it doesn't mean anything to me. Is that Good Burger?
What?
Yes.
That's Good Burger?
Yeah, about 96. Keenan and Kel.
I've never seen it.
You never watched Keenan and Kel?
Bro, I was 26 years old, about to be married. What would I be watching Keenan and Kel for?
You watched all that, though, of course. You
watched, I've never even heard of that.
You watched Friends.
What?
Yeah, but Friends was a prime.
90210.
That was prime time.
Keenan and Kel were prime time.
No, it was not. That was like prime a Saturday time. Morning show.
No, prime time.
Wasn't it?
On Nick.
Keenan and Kel, it was on Nick.
On Nick?
Nickelodeon. Yeah. You've heard. Nick.
I honestly don't think I've ever watched Nickelodeon because it didn't exist,
it
I don't think.
When, right before Doug with Patty Mayonnaise.
I don't know what that is, but I've never seen the show where they dump the slime on you.
Oh. But Keenan and Kel.
They just
classic.
Brought it back, the slime orange, dump show. Really? Double Dare, Double Trouble.
Double Dare, yeah.
Yeah.
Orange soda?
I don't know what that is. But so on this day in 1996, Keenan and Kel premiered.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Give Keenan and Kel some love.
I love him on Saturday Night Live. I think he's the longest running cast member in history.
Yeah, because he's the better one.
Kel kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
Kel had a fake braid, Whoopi Goldberg somethings. He's ridiculous, but Keenan got
Keenan's something. Beyonce, and Kel is
Destiny's Child.
Kelly Rowland, right?
Kelly Rowland, she's the other girl. I don't even know her name. There's a third.
There's a third.
Yes. Kel is the third on Destiny's Child.
She held the meeting of our move into the new building. That was the third Destiny Child. All right. Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post was excellent today. Steve Goldstein as well. You can hear both those interviews at WQAM.com upon completion of the program, which is right about now. That will do it for us. Kevin Rogers is coming your way next. We will speak with you mañana.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
So, Omar, be honest. Do you think you get recognized on planes more than Megan Rapinoe?
I'm absolutely certain I do.
No, you're so wrong.
I'm absolutely certain I do. Dude.